The radio broadcast portion of today's UCC Church worship service is given in loving memory of wife and mother Ann Phillett's birthday on February 24th by Jim and Jim John Phillett.
Looks like the special music is called The Unclouded Day. It's got big print today so I can read it. Thanks, Benjamin. Thank you, Benjamin. Thank you, Eileen. Unclouded day for our radio audience. I'm going to read from the Gospel of John today, the story of Jesus in the temple at the time of the Passover, from the second chapter, verses 13 to 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove out all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of money changers, and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After this, he was raised from the dead. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of the Lord. May God add God's blessing to it. Will you pray with me? Pray that the words that I speak are faithful to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that that which you hear is that which the Spirit intends for your ears this day. Let us pray. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Often when we read this text, we imagine that Jesus was very angry. There's another way to read these same words, especially in the Gospel of John. Did you notice this reading comes in the second chapter of the Gospel rather than in Holy Week as it does in Matthew, Mark, and Luke? That makes a difference. Whereas in those Gospels, Jesus overthrowing the tables of the money changers leads the religious authorities to seek his death, in the Gospel of John, the religious authorities are trying to understand who Jesus is. They're confused and perplexed how anyone could walk into the temple and disrupt their most holy and lucrative week. After every mass shooting, the authorities and many Americans try to understand, how is it that this one who has killed and disrupted the peace, what's he like? What triggered this behavior? And so the Jews who did not yet know Jesus wanted to know, who is Jesus and what right did he have to do this? A week ago, we hosted not only Ruby Ambling's funeral, but we also hosted her visitation. And one of her grandchildren is an active member of our CDs group, and he's here every Wednesday night. This is also a child who's gone to Sunday school all through his days and his youth. And you will see him lighting the candles from time to time. So this is a kid who knows the church. So when he arrived at the church for his grandmother's visitation, and after he'd come into the sanctuary and paid his respects, he was out in the hallway over here looking at his uncle's and his mom's confirmation pictures. And I saw him there, and I came and I put my arm on him, and I said, you know, this is your church. This is your church. And he didn't have to stay in the sanctuary if he did not want to. He didn't have to stay there by his grandmother's body for the next 2 hours. I said, this is your church and you know the building. And he was welcome to go wherever he wanted that was most comfortable for him, including the youth room way back in the back of our building. And not only that, I said, your cousins don't know this building, so you can show them around and show them where that room is, and you can hang in there if you'd like. Again, I reminded him, this was his church. And what I said last week was true. This church, this building belongs to all our members. Sometimes I've got to just smile because years after attending Sunday school, maybe just a few weeks, or coming to vacation Bible school here years ago, someone will come up to me and say, yeah, that's my church, or their family's church. And truth be told, few of us remember them, but they remember their connection here. And so I think we need to remember UCC is also a community church. Our identity is that we are a welcoming church where anyone in any group in this church, whenever we do that and deny that we are a welcoming church, those of us who love this church in other ways are devastated. This church is for everyone. And most of us here believe that. Another part of the truth proclaimed in this reading from John is that Jesus knows. Oh, okay, let me get back. So, since this is not our church, truly, this place in our ministry belongs to God, or as Jesus claimed it, it is his Father's house. What happens in the temple in Jerusalem and here at UCC matters to Jesus. As we worship, sing, pray, preach the word, offer our gifts, and make our commitments, Jesus notices, much as he did in that temple in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Our decisions about who is welcome and whose voice matters is significant to Jesus. Jesus cares about the Christian education taught in this place and the mission that takes place within and beyond this church. Jesus cares about us as members of the church. Another part of the truth, though, proclaimed in this reading is that Jesus knows that his body is also his Father's temple. Our bodies are also the temple of the Lord Most High. Our bodies, our souls, our very selves are also the places where Jesus comes to clean house. It matters to Jesus what we do with and in our lives. Of course it matters what we do in the ministry of the church. And on Tuesday at the council meeting, as you heard, we're going to talk about that. All are welcome to come and join that conversation. However, it also matters to Jesus what we do when we leave this sanctuary, or when we turn off the radio after the broadcast, or after we turn to another website after we watch this or listen to the sermon on our website. It matters to Jesus what we do at work, even what our work is. It matters to him how we do our work and how we relate to one another at work. Our family relationships also matter to Jesus. Ed Friedman, in his book Generation to Generation, which is one of the most important books that I read for my ministry, he writes there that the relationships that happen in a pastor's family very much affect the way the minister does their ministry. And I think that's true not only of ministers. I think how we relate to our family and friends affects how we do our ministry in the church. It affects how we express our faith, how we love God and neighbor. It matters to Jesus how we interact with friends and strangers. Because, my friends, wherever we go, we are the body of Christ. The season of Lent is a time of introspection when we evaluate our relationship with Jesus Christ. How is it with our church? Are there places where what we do needs to be driven out and overturned? Are we about our Father's business, doing what God calls us to do and being who God calls us to be? Are we led by the Spirit or by our own desires and dreams? At the same time, are we relating to one another and to God's creation as if we ourselves are our Father's temple? Are we who God wants us to be? Are you, am I? Are we doing that which honors God in all the places of our lives? We're asked in Lent to go deeper, to question our relationship with God, to think about it, reflect on it, and to reflect on our relationships with one another, and to make that serious evaluation, self-evaluation, letting Jesus evaluate us, even letting him turn over some of the tables, though it's not the last word in our reading. The one who has authority over us, if we give it to him, that isn't the if. If we give Jesus authority over us, he who has authority also announces with authority, not with anger, but with faith, hope, love, and power, that after the temple is destroyed, he will raise it up in 3 days. After his death, after we put to death that which separates us from God, there will be new life. After 3 days, yes, Good Friday, when on that day, which I think this year is March 30th, but it could be February 28th. After Good Friday, whatever day that is for us personally this year, on that day when we put to death that which is unholy in us, that's Good Friday. And then there is that holy Saturday in the tomb, which follows Good Friday. And during that day, when we live into the change of heart and mind. So we have Good Friday, the cross, putting to death that which needs to die in us. We have that day in the tomb when we begin to realize again where we need to change and what we need to do to make ourselves more in line with what Jesus is calling us to be. Then there comes Easter, When we are raised to new life, Jesus offers a resurrection which leads him and all of us to new life. With authority, the one who chased out doves, sheep, and cattle builds a new temple. He is built into a new temple. We are built into a new temple. Happens in Jerusalem, in Neillsville, and in you and in me, that God's word lives on and is made new. Amen. Let us breathe in that breath of God. Let us take a deep breath. And exhale that which is distracting us this day. Let us take a deep breath. Feel God's love flowing into our whole selves as we exhale that which is not of God. Lord our God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your love which you showed to us in Christ Jesus our Lord, who in his life, death, and resurrection showed us the way, the truth, and the life. We give you thanks that he comes to us with authority, not with anger, with love, not with condemnation, with hope that we too will hear his word and that we too will allow him to turn over that which is in us that is unbecoming to followers of Jesus. We pray, O God, that through his love, you might transform us to be the people who are Jesus' disciples. Open our eyes to his work in the world, work where he is among us doing the amazing. And open our eyes to that which we can do to support him as we minister to those around us. O Lord, our God, we know that you call us to change our swords into plowshares. Help us to see how it is that we can make for peace in this world so that all your people might find peace. God, God, we pray for those who are grieving these days still from gunshots that have killed their loved ones. Oh God, our God, open for us a new way. Help us to hear the cries of those who have died. Hear the cries those who have witnessed death in their midst. Gracious and ever-loving God, we pray, O God, that that which brings unity to our world might come to be. Be with the leaders of nations. Guide them in their words. Help them in their deliberations. Cause them to see the good in one another and to find that place, those places where we are one with one another, those places of commonality, so that we might be able to work through our differences. God, let that not only be out in the world and among leaders, but also in our own families. Also those places where there is broken, we might uncover the places of commonality and using that work toward reconciliation. You are our Lord and Savior. We give you thanks. And together we pray as Jesus taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us respond to God's goodness with the giving of our gifts. Let us in this Lenten season consider how we are going to serve the Lord our God. Let us consider in this Lenten season the promises that we might make to be followers of Jesus.